think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Steve Scalise is far short of the votes he needs to be elected speaker. He was nominated by a majority of the conference. He needed to surpass the 111 vote threshold. He got 113 votes. But in order to get elected to the House, you need 217 votes. And we are told that he is more than a dozen short votes short at the moment. And right now he is meeting, be in his office with members individually trying to assuage their concerns. But leaving those meetings, a number of those members are indicating they have concerns, everything ranging from his views to his positions on some key issues, the fact that he's been in the leadership, as well as one member raising concerns about his health, because Steve Scalise now battling blood cancer, though he's treatable and says he's on the mend, there's some concerns about that in the ranks as well.
I'm not supporting Steve Scalise. I'll be voting for Jim Jordan.
And why is that?
Well, Jim Jordan presented a strong plan for us, a detailed plan on how to move forward. We didn't hear that plan from Steve Scalise. It was more vague answers. But there's another situation that's very personal to me. You know, I lost my father in 2021 to cancer. And unfortunately, Steve is going through a cancer battle of his own. And, you know, I like Steve Scalise a lot, and I like him so much, I would like to see him put his full efforts into defeating that.
Those are the words of Marjorie Taylor Greene, and following a CNN reporter on where Steve Scalise stands on getting to the actual floor and winning the vote as Speaker of the House. And to that extent, the battle is far from over. And the reason being is that we have Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan locked up at last report, and there may be other contenders. Now, you would think these are two guys that get along fine and there wouldn't be an issue. To that extent, they are good, but what you're going to hear in a few moments is that apparently in their presentation to the closed-door committee, Jordan was making a better explanation and reasoning as to why he should be the one stepping forward. Now, that's where the dividing line is, and that is probably going to continue to play out. The actual count, as you heard, based upon that CNN report at that time, and this is a fluid situation, that Scalise doesn't have enough votes. Thank you again for joining us. This is October 12, 2023, hour number two of 2 hours back-to-back, Larry Connors, USA. And reminding you, while you're listening, there also is a stream available showing the studio. That's at News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, or Larry Connors, USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. You can watch and listen via the video audio or just the audio. If you're in the car listening, by the time you get home, maybe you want to go back and pull something up and watch it, I encourage you to do so. I know you don't have time to devote to all of this every day as I do. It's my mission, and I'm just trying to make the best of it for you. But it's there for you. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Pull anything up you miss. And after you watch or listen, push the share button. Send it on to someone else that you think needs to hear this. At the same time, remember, you can always register, subscribe. We'll send it to you for free. And we don't use, or share, I should say, we don't share any of your information. And we certainly, therefore, don't sell it. Now, the issue about getting a new Speaker of the House, this goes back to showing exactly what the Democrats are just smiling and smirking about. Here you have the Republicans. They got the House by a slim majority, 3-5, depending on how you count who's on where with, who's on first. And then Now they want us to believe that they can also control the Senate. They can't even get their house in order, literally the house. And they want the White House. What are they going to do about that? So this is all playing against Republicans. And the Democrats aren't causing this issue. It is the Republicans. Nancy Pelosi was threatened when she was still Speaker of the House by members of the squad. And her answer was, well, they'd got their little group and they'd go do their thing. She just dismissed them. And even the fact that you had members of the squad suggesting she's racist. She's no white racist woman. She didn't like that either. But you know what? She continued to hold control. So Jake Tapper was digging in after the report from his reporter and listening to Marjorie Taylor Greene, South Carolina congresswoman. Her remarks about Scalise's health. He is dealing with blood cancer of some type. They sound real. I don't know if it's also a fallback excuse for her. She did say that if I were to vote, it's going to be for Jim Jordan. So now Tapper is interviewing South Carolina Congresswoman Mace.
You endorsed Jim Jordan, so I'm assuming you voted for Jim Jordan today. If the vote for Speaker were today, would you vote for Steve Scalise?
I would not. I plan on voting for Jim Jordan on the floor. I've been very vocal about this over the last couple of days. I personally cannot, in good conscience, vote for someone who attended a white supremacist conference and compared himself to David Duke. I would be doing an enormous disservice to the voters that I represent in South Carolina if I were to do that.
So this is a reference to in 2002, Scalise spoke before an extremist group founded by David Duke called the European American Unity and Rights Organization. In 2015, when this was first reported, Scalise said it was a, quote, group whose views I wholeheartedly condemn. It was a mistake I regret, and I emphatically oppose the divisive racial and religious views groups like these hold, unquote. Is this the main reason why other Republicans are concerned about Scalise? I can't believe that Marjorie Taylor Greene would be upset about this.
Well, she mentioned his health as a reason that she was not supporting him. There are others that don't understand what the path is moving forward on spending bills or a continuing resolution. There are others with me that represent districts that would not support someone who attended those kinds of events in the past. And so, you know, also as a woman, I have grave concerns as a woman in balancing the protecting life and protecting women's rights.
Well, I have not heard Scalise, nor, you know, let's focus on Scalise because she said she's supporting Jordan. I really can't recall anything Scalise has said indicating that he would not protect the rights of the unborn. Maybe I missed something. The allegations about him being linked to David Duke and the organization, to his credit again, I'll give CNN Jake Tapper credit on that. He said that it was back then, and since then he's recanted and said, basically, I didn't know what I was getting into. That's kind of what it comes down to. And I remind you that Scalise almost was killed by that Bernie Sanders supporter, remember? When they were all practicing for their baseball game, the Republicans against the Democrats, and the guy shows up at the ball field and says, are these Republicans out there? And they said, yes. And he starts opening fire, shooting them. He would have nearly did kill Scalise. He would have killed others if it weren't for the fact that because as speaker, not speaker, but minority leader at that point, Scalise had extra capital protection with him, which he's afforded, and they quickly saved his life. If they had not been there, we would have had numerous Republicans shot down. And, of course, the left will talk about it and report it constantly, but they often will leave out it was a Bernie Sanders supporter or even a Democrat. That's their game, and we know it. But last night, Scalise, a Republican of Louisiana, did get the nomination in the closed-door meeting, but he's got to have 217 votes on the floor. They got 113-99 inside the committee. And, of course, action has been underway today on it. I try to always, when things like this are unfolding, I'm trying to look beyond actual numbers and decisions, Dave, is what's going to happen. And one thing I have been concerned about, that if Jim Jordan, were the Speaker of the House, can he also remain the Judiciary Chair? I think he can. I don't know of anything that would prevent him from doing it. But when you listen to South Carolina Congresswoman May, she's all about defending Jim Jordan.
We have a very divided world right now. When I see what's happening in Israel, I want someone who's going to be a leader and bring our country together.
Do you think Jim Jordan is the guy to keep the country together? I mean, Congresswoman Liz Cheney has made it pretty clear that she thinks that he was one of the main plotters to undo the election and push Vice President Pence to try to flip the electoral vote. And Adam Kinzinger said the same. Is he really the unity candidate you're suggesting?
Well, I am someone who voted to certify the Electoral College every vote that night on January 6th, and I was a very vocal person who was opposed to what happened on January 6th. We're not going to agree on everything. Certainly, with any speaker, that's what this is about. We need to find someone who can bring us together.
And you know, by the way, who was against the Electoral College, not in this last presidential election, but the one before? Hillary Clinton. We need to ban it. I mean, I won the popular vote, assuming they're all voting legally. I won the popular vote. Forget the damn Electoral College. Even though it's in the Constitution, forget it. How fast they forget. Now, a Republican of Florida, Congresswoman Anna Luna, apparently was going to support Speaker Scalise, but she's saying, I can't do it anymore. I'm reversing. She says basically she's going to go with Jordan. Then I'm looking at another comment that's been spread around involving Congressman George Santos, Republican of New York. And, of course, he's been under fire a lot for fictionalizing a lot of his history. To that extent, what members of Congress haven't, to some extent? He said, I'll vote for anyone but Scalise. And he said, the whole meeting is boring and waste of time. Every single meeting we've had since the process, every single one has been a waste of time. Remember, it took 15 ballots to get McCarthy as Speaker of the House. It only happened when Matt Gaetz of Florida said, I'll give you my vote and put you over, but you're going to have to adhere to these conditions. He felt he hadn't. That's why he came to the floor and called for basically a vote of confidence, and McCarthy was kicked out at that point. And now we're where we are. One other thing from George Santos, Republican of New York. This you have to accept fully. It is embarrassing for the entire country to see the Republican Party just can't get it together. It looks like we're completely in disarray. I would add it doesn't look like it. You obviously are. Now, back to South Carolina Congresswoman Mace. She made a remark regarding who is supporting Jordan that basically she might as well reach across and slap Jake Tapper in the face.
I've actually talked to Democrats who trust him at his word. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Jim Jordan?
Yes, I've talked to Democrats over the last week on who do they trust, even though they wouldn't agree with him on many issues. He is someone.
The Jim Jordan from Ohio?
Oh, yes, the Jim Jordan from Ohio.
Democrats in Congress?
Yes, they can work with him. And those that
name one Democrat from Congress that trusts Jim Jordan.
People off the record. They trust him more than they trust the former speaker in my private conversations with Democrats. I will say that. I will also say that other names that I've heard are Patrick McHenry, like you said, and also Tom Cole. Really, what people want is someone that they can trust and who will be true to their word at the end of the day.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm buying the thing about Democrats trusting Jim Jordan.
I talk to people on both sides of the aisle all the time.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that. I just don't know how much I believe the thing about Democrats trusting Jim Jordan.
I'm not saying they're going to vote for him. I'm saying they trust him more than they trust the former speaker.
Well, that's not really a high bar now, is it?
Not a high bar. All right, let's turn our attention back to Israel and Hamas, Gaza Strip. Hamas is calling for jihad for everyone supporting the PLO for tomorrow. If you believe Israel should be destroyed, it should be happening tomorrow. Secretary of State Blinken is making a point about Hamas, PLO, Hezbollah, and Palestinians in general.
We know Hamas doesn't represent the Palestinian people or their legitimate aspirations to to live with equal measures of security, freedom, justice, opportunity, and dignity. We know Hamas, instead of promoting the well-being of its citizens, rules repressively and dedicates the resources it has to terror tunnels and rockets. We know Hamas didn't commit its heinous acts with the interests of Palestinian people in mind. We know Hamas does not stand for the future that Palestinians want for themselves and for their children. Hamas has only one agenda: to destroy Israel and to murder Jews. No country can or would tolerate the slaughter of its citizens, or simply return to the conditions that allowed it to take place. Israel has the right, indeed the obligation, to defend itself and to ensure that this never happens again.
Basically repeating the words of President Biden, Blinken meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Tel Aviv, and Netanyahu had made it very clear that he was glad to see him. Benjamin Netanyahu.
Mr. Secretary, your visit is another tangible example of America's unequivocal support for Israel. Hamas has shown itself to be an enemy of civilization. The massacring of young people in an outdoor music festival, the butchering of entire families, the murder of parents in front of their children, and the murder of children in front of their parents, the burning of people alive, the beheadings, the kidnappings of a young boy, not only kidnapped, molested, hurt, attacked, and the sickening display of celebrating these horrors, the celebration and glorification of evil.
Blinken says the U.S. is going to deliver every bit of help you need. We'll see how far that goes. But he also did state something that basically is an ironic statement coming from this administration.
Too often in the past, leaders have equivocated in the face of terrorist attacks against Israel and its people. That's why we've been adamant with all countries in the wake of these attacks. There is no excuse. There is no justification for these atrocities. You heard the Prime Minister say it. This must be a moment for moral clarity. The failure to unambiguously condemn terrorism puts at risk not only people in Israel, but people everywhere.
And to that extent, that means, in addition to everything Biden said the other day and Blinken about how, what we're going to do to help you, then you should be, as you have condemned Hamas, but you should condemn all terrorist actions and nations, beginning with Iran, and you should un-gift the money to Iran, the $6 billion. I've not seen that happen. So Blinken basically is saying one thing while we continue to give money to the terrorist. Coming up, how the call for terrorism is on our campuses. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1, and newstalkstl.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. As you know, we have talked to you previously about ever since the Hamas attack, we have heard from various intellectual elites, as they might like to be called, and they are basically waffling on do they support Israel or PLO. And for the most part, those protestings on the campuses, they are making it clear they support Hamas. But there's a shift going on. There was an anti-Israeli statement issued by some Harvard groups. And after that, the Harvard president stated there should be, quote, no doubt that I condemn the terrorist atrocities perpetrated by Hamas, adding that such inhumanity is abhorrent. Whatever one's individual views of the origins of long-standing conflicts in the region. Now, these are college kids. If they're at Harvard, you think they have some real knowledge of the world and world history, and they know the difference as to what is really at stake here. Hamas is claiming, along with various PLO organizations, that we've been under Israel's boot. We're not allowed to leave the strip. We've got to stay here. That's a lie, first of all. The Gaza residents have often been allowed. It got revoked for a period of time, but it had been in effect again just before the terrorist attack. Work permits to travel from the Gaza Strip into Israel and go about a work job that day. Earn what money they could, and then go back. And there's a chance of earning money more there than it was in the Gaza Strip. But yet we still have had some of these students that supposedly are learned are buying the story that we're being kept captive here. We're being ruled and controlled by the Jews in Israel. This all goes back to the beginning of the Israeli state in 1948, and the day Ben-Gurion pronounced it, that it was a state, well, immediately, Truman, on behalf of the U.S., stated, I recognize it. The U.S. recognizes it. And another step forward. But the PLO the Palestinians in general now, and I want to separate them from the PLO specifically, as these students should, but they don't understand or won't bother reading and studying. They're too busy worrying about, what's my gender today? Give me a break. And I tell you something else here. For some of you out there who might be having a student in one of these institutes of higher learning, and you're paying for that crap to be shoved down your kid's throat at that level, it's tough enough in the public schools. And yet you cannot get things done at an institution like Harvard. I'm going to try to book John LeBoutier tomorrow or maybe next week on this flashback from Harvard. I want his intake on that because we had him on last week, and he was acknowledging when I wrote the book, Harvard Hates America, something like 45 years ago, he said, I had no idea just how bad it was. All right, we have established contact with John Schweppe, who is with the Director of Policy for the American Principles Project, to talk about some of these events. John, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Larry, thanks so much for having me. All right, Sorry for the delay.
I'm short on time here now because we didn't have you there for a while. What is your response to these recent events at Harvard as it's supposedly pillars of critical thinking?
Yeah, you know, look, I think you're seeing this is the woke movement. It's absolutely insane what they're doing. And now they're, you know, literally protesting on behalf of terrorists that are killing women and children. And this is just because this is what they think they're supposed to do within their framework of the oppressor and the oppressed. And they are convinced that Israel is the oppressor and the Palestinians are oppressed.
And where would they get that idea and understanding and backing at an institute of higher learning that supposedly is teaching them the full truth?
Well, that is the indoctrination that's taking place at American colleges right now on this issue and on so many others. And this is why, you know, I think conservative parents should be thinking about whether they want to send their kids to these types of institutions, but I think conservatives should really rethink, you know, whether these are the types of institutions we want to be in bed with at all through government, you know, through the student loan program, through all these grant agreements. Yeah. It's a real problem.
You know, it started with 34 student organizations at Harvard all came together and say, we support the PLO, and the PLO and Palestinians are not exactly the same in general. The PLO is more of a militant group as opposed to the general Palestinians. And again, you have the West Bank as they want it known based off of the West Bank of Jordan when it's really Judea. They don't want to name it that. And then you have the Gaza Strip with Hamas. And Hamas is calling for jihad all across the world tomorrow. Where do you think some of these students are going to be in that tomorrow?
Well, I know they're going to be out protesting today, and, you know, I think partly for some of these students, they don't recognize, at least I hope, you know, what they're supporting. But the reality is, you know, there are, we know this to be true from intelligence and elsewhere, you know, there are terror cells around the world, including in this country, and there is a risk of actual attacks happening here. And the question is, are these people going to be supporting the terrorists then when their, you know, brothers and sisters, fellow Americans are dying in the streets because of terrorism? I mean, it's really incredible to see. And really sad and frankly just really naive.
You know what? Naive is a perfect example. I mean, they're babies that suddenly are 6 foot plus tall and driving a car. But if they even looked at just the immediate events, not the overall long conflict in the argument, the immediate events of the other day, when the paragliders landed on that beach to start shooting people left and right at a music gathering, there were many there that were all about peace, and they are for a two-state arrangement, Israel and Palestine. So they were killing people that actually would support what they want as far as we want more territory or a better understanding, but they never got a chance to explain that. So the peaceniks were slaughtered.
Yeah, everyone was slaughtered. I mean, there are even 25 Americans, I believe, the count is up to now. And, you know, it's really sad to see these students supporting that. But it's important for your listeners and for voters to understand that these are all left-wingers. They're all far left wingers who really animate the id of the Democratic Party. And so even though you'll see Joe Biden and even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, condemn Hamas, well, ideologically, they're with them. And I think it's important to understand that.
We could not even get a reporter chasing Congresswoman Tlaib through the halls of Congress the other day, just asking, do you condemn chopping off the heads of babies? Now, you got to at least take a stance on that. You can say you support Palestine and liberation of Palestine, all of this, but chopping the heads off of babies, and you cannot, with a definitive answer, say, no, that is wrong.
I guess the baby deserved it from there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's the horrific nature of this. And Larry, you know, something to recognize also is that, you know, we understand that there's always been this persistent Jew hatred. I think it's actually spiritual, frankly, evil forces that animate this. But when you're chopping off the head of an infant, you know, that's motivated by pure hatred. That's on the level of Nazism. There's no political justification for it, ever.
Among these groups at Harvard, you have the Harvard Islamic Society. On one hand, I want to say no surprise there, but not all Islam is for this kind of terrorist action. But it's the Harvard Islamic Society, the Pakistan Forum, Pakistan Students Association, Nepal Student Association. But in contrast to that now, the president, let me get the quote here in front of me again. The Harvard president, Claudia Gay, said, there should be no doubt I condemn the terrorist atrocities, and then added, such inhumanity is abhorrent whatever one's individual views of the origins of long-standing conflicts in the region are. In other words, she's trying to say, look at the facts and the difference. You've got your history. You want to deal with that, but you want to accept this as an excuse, an explanation that it was due and timely?
Yeah, it's nonsensical. And this is just, but to be honest, for a lot of these students, I mean, this is really what they're being brought up believing. If you look at even social media accounts, you know, it is very uncool to stand with Israel. It's very cool. You know, you're seeing all sorts of influencers saying, you know, we have to stand with the Palestinians and Israel needs to make sure that they're turning on the water and the energy so that way the Hamas terrorists could continue to launch attacks on Israel, right? I mean, the reality here is that this has become an all-out war, and Israel has a right to defend themselves. And normal Americans, people who aren't completely possessed by this crazy ideology, understand that and support that. And, you know, we obviously want peace in that region, but look who started it. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. You can never kill women and innocent children, ever, ever.
No reason whatsoever. It is pure evil. And as much as I've criticized Biden, I did praise him for his remarks the other day, but now will he back it up? Your quick thoughts on that before we go.
No, he's got to do more. The reality, and I agree with you, I praised him too, but, you know, the reality is that Iran funded these attacks, and Iran has been buddy-buddy with Biden and buddy-buddy with Obama. That's what we have to work on. We have to, you know, do sanctions and basically make sure that deal is torn to pieces.
They never get that money. You're right. John Schweppe, thank you for your time. He's the Director of Policy for the American Principles Project. Thanks, John. And on another point, I'd point out to you earlier, they were shutting off the water and gas, fuel, food going into Gaza. But you know who's not going to be starving or needing water? That'll be the terrorists. They'll get theirs. The Gaza citizens won't. Coming up, about campus cowards. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We know Hamas doesn't represent the Palestinian people or their legitimate aspirations to live with equal measures of security, freedom, justice, opportunity, and dignity. We know Hamas, instead of promoting the well-being of its citizens, rules repressively and dedicates the resources it has to terror tunnels and rockets. We know Hamas didn't commit its heinous acts with the interests of Palestinian people in mind. We know Hamas does not stand for the future that Palestinians want for themselves and for their children. Hamas has only one agenda, to destroy Israel and to murder Jews. No country can or would tolerate the slaughter of its citizens or simply return to the conditions that allowed it to take place. Israel has the right, indeed the obligation, to defend itself and to ensure that this never happens again.
Those are the words of Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State, who was in Tel Aviv speaking to Prime Minister Netanyahu, delivering a message on behalf of the U.S. and the President. I'm glad to see it happen. My regret is it's late again. We just cannot seem to get ourselves moving on an issue that is right in front of you. Now, I know some are saying, well, look at the Republicans. They can't even get their house in order. I mean, literally the house. Get a House Speaker and without a lot of fighting and feuding. Fine. But we're talking about a national story that involves horrific terrorism. And while the president made a great remark, a statement the other day, he should have been the one going to meet with Netanyahu. And we can then speculate as to why he can't, whatever. And then, of course, the statement that finally came out of the former president, Barack Obama, 3 days after the terrorist attack, basically a tweet saying we suffer and feel the loss, things of that nature, but also had to make a point to tie the entire Palestinian free state issue against Israel into it, in a way, effectively explaining, excusing the terrorism. Let me be very candid with you. There is not a single excuse for what was carried out against those innocent civilians in Israel. Many of those at the party on the beach, we don't even know they were actually Jews or they had just come there to join others. We know they were not all from Israel because we know Americans were in there with them and they've been kidnapped from there and elsewhere inside Israel along the Gaza Strip area. And representatives, or I should say citizens from at least 15 different nations have been identified. They may be Jewish. They may hold dual passports. Or they may have just been there to study Judaism. I don't know how many times my church, and especially under the missionary pastor who just resigned after 25 plus years, Randy Mayfield, leading numerous groups to Israel to see Jerusalem, the holy city, and understand and see the places marked in the Bible. Christians, not Jewish, but the faith is founded, Judeo-Christian, from Jews. Muslims have a different faith, as do Hindus and Buddhists. But all of them aside, be you called a Christian, and certainly during the Christian Crusades, brutality was carried out in the name of Christ. We cannot forget throughout the eons of history, this has been carried out at some point by all religions. And even inside the Bible, God made it very clear that he would sometimes rise up the king of Assyria to go take over the king of Judah because he no longer did right in the eyes of God, so he was going to punish him and his people. Manasseh at one point, the leader of Judah, Jerusalem, the longest leader, 55 years, but he reached a point where he was no longer serving God, went back to worshiping altars. He even went so far as to sacrifice his sons in fire. And so God enabled an enemy to overpower and take him. And then when he was captured, Manasseh, a ring in his nose and in his shame and shackles, his humility and prayers to God, according to the Old Testament, God relented and gave mercy. Got him freed, got him back to his own palace, where he began to wipe out all these things of evil that he had created. Clear God's temple of pagan altars. But God will use someone against someone that he would like to see thrive, but they've stepped out of his grace. I'm not trying to be theological. I'm not trying to preach to you. You need to talk to someone who's better informed than me, but all I'm saying is it's very clear that there will be evil coming if you get too far out of God's grace, and I worry about that for our nation. Tomorrow, the Palestinian Hamas terrorist group, Hamas, is calling on Muslims worldwide to stage a day of jihad. Worldwide. There will be increased security at Jewish synagogues, schools, but that doesn't mean they're going to attack them there. They may attack any public facility or major gathering, knowing or at least hoping they'll kill some Jews anyway, or if not, it just says that you also will die. But I want to caution you and remind you again, just as we did after 9/11. Just because someone is a Muslim does not make them an enemy, does not make them a terrorist. Not all Muslims are jihadists. Far from it. but every jihadist is a Muslim. Interpreting the Quran as they choose to wipe out infidels, anyone who doesn't agree with them. So they're calling for a day of jihad, holy war, tomorrow, Friday, October the 13th. The Middle East Media Research Institute reports on Hamas as saying, "We declare Friday, the Friday of the Al-Aqsa flood, as a day of general mobilization in our Arab and Islamic world and among the free people of the world, is a day to rally, support, offer aid, participate actively, is a day to expose the crimes of the occupation, isolate it, foil all of its aggressive schemes. It's a day to demonstrate our love for Palestine, Jerusalem, and Al-Aqsa. It is a day for sacrifice and heroism and dedication, and to earn the honor of defending Muslims of the third holiest mosque, the ascension of the trusted messengers." Been predicted over the eons, biblically and otherwise, that when a third mosque is built, then that will be the end times. I'm not saying we're here at that point. I'm just saying that this is what they're pushing. Now, it's one thing to call for people to rally in support, maybe offer aid to Palestinians. But the Palestinians and the PLO are not one and the same. The PLO is made up of Palestinians, but not every Palestinian is an active PLO member. Any more than anyone living in the Gaza Strip is considered Hamas. They're not. That would be like you and your family, your enclave, your friends, your relatives, and one of them joins the KKK, does not make all of you KKK members. But guilt by association and labels and destruction may be brought upon you, and you have no interest in such visions of a KKK. But in response, Netanyahu has said, and I'm quoting from him, he said, "Every member of Hamas should be considered a dead man." Now, they're not going in to slaughter women and children. The bombs and the drones, the missiles they're hitting Gaza Strip with probably are killing women and children, but that's not the intent. And they gave them notice that in X hours we're going to start the bombardment. And if they could leave, they probably did, but maybe they weren't allowed to leave by Hamas. They want to use them as human shields, thinking you won't dare attack if you're going to kill innocent women and children. That would not be our intent, not Israel's intent. But that's a far cry from going into civilian area and just opening fire. And some of the far left that are among the most calling for more gun control, more gun control, they do not seem to be saying what Hamas did was wrong. They excuse it. I won't even discuss it other than say we stand with Palestine. That is not the same as standing with terrorists who chop off the heads of babies. The Israeli defense minister spoke, saying, "I vow to wipe Hamas off the face of the earth." He said, "What happened has not happened to the Jewish people since 1945. There is no situation in which you kill Israeli kids and we simply go about our business." Good. I'd mentioned going into this about campuses that are full of cowards. Let's take a look at that subject. This is a piece written by Barry Weiss. It's I'm trying to find the source. I accidentally cut off the original source. I regret that. Talking about American universities are places of exquisite sensitivity. Said, just ask Greg Patton. Patton is a USC professor suspended from his job a few years ago because he said a Chinese word a filler word like the word that happened to sound like an English slur. It wasn't intended, but there were those looking for a reason. Or ask Leslie Neal Boylan, dean of the nursing school at University of Massachusetts, or was, and she was fired when she wrote the following sentences in an email. Black lives matter. Everyone's life matters. And for that, she lost the job. A math professor at the University of North Texas, losing his job for disparagingly joking about microaggressions. Microaggressions. Oh, you didn't use my gender. NYU firing someone that did lectures because students complained the chemistry class is too hard. Yale professors, two of them resigning from their roles as deans of a residential college after one of them sent an email suggesting college students could handle the sight of offensive Halloween costumes. And for that sin, she and her husband, who defended her response, were accused of failing to create a safe space for Yale students. I'll tell you something that would offend people, you would think. Maybe nowadays it probably wouldn't. The Central West End of St. Louis often has a great big Halloween parade and so forth. And one of the most unusual I've ever seen, at first it was hard to understand. Now this, as I describe it, it might offend you, it might shock you, but it happened and no one said word one against it. There were six men walking behind two by two. They had a white suits on, a white cap on their head, and what looked like a white rope or something hanging from the top of it, kind of dangling off the top of the cap. And they were walking inside of a box fashion around them that said, tampons. And they win the prize for the best Halloween costume. But that was 25 plus years ago, before the wokeness started, and I'm offended. This piece written by Barry Weiss says, you talk about safe spaces. What about safe spaces for Jewish students? Since the Hamas attack on Israel, he said the President Cornell described her statement as a response to world events, lamenting it is impossible to respond to all the world's tragedies. Really? President of Northwestern University said, Northwestern does not intend to make an institutional statement. And this is about the largest single day slaughter of Jews since the Holocaust, and there's nothing? Sanford's interim president wrote, while we condemn terrorists as a normal moral matter, we believe it's important the university refrain from taking institutional positions. And yet, you know damn well they do. Dartmouth's president yet to explicitly condemn Hamas. Same with the Colombian president. While 30 student groups, as we were saying earlier, were praising Hamas after slaughtering 1,200 Israelis. Northwestern University's Middle East and North African Student Association demanded we have a day of grieving for the martyrs and civilians lost in this time. They're talking about the bombing of the Gaza Strip. Cowards on campus in so many ways. You want a safe space? Put yourself in the closet. Put a plastic bag over your head. As always, thanks for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.